Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Wow, that's great. There's live people here. And we're doing something totally new. My clock says it's actually 6 o'clock. And here we are, and we're starting. I'm impressed. I'm sure God is too. He's happy whether it's 6 o'clock or 6:10 or 6:15, whatever time it is. So he's happy to see us. We're happy to be seen by him. So thank you for coming tonight. Look forward to worshiping together and meeting the Lord in fresh ways. Have some, I think, exciting things to talk about in sharing time. A thing or two. Maybe some others will have something they want to say about it. And we'll go from there. Welcome. So let's begin with prayer and then let's sing. Father in heaven, how grateful we are that we can be together here to worship you. And we thank you that as we gather in the name of Jesus and his character and under his authority, that you are present, that Holy Spirit is here. And so we welcome you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to move among us, to minister to us, to touch our hearts in tangible ways so that we'll know that we've been in your presence tonight. And when we leave here, we're not the same people as when we came in, but we're more like Jesus. So do your awesome work, Holy Spirit. We thank you in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. Jeremy is reading my sermon notes again. Sometimes a song is so good or so appropriate, I have to take notes. So that's why I was sitting there. So who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? You have 2 weeks already built up, so that's 6 of you. Or 3 really good ones. Or 1 super big. A lot has transpired in the last 2 weeks. With Pokemon Forever Church. We came from a point of thinking that perhaps tonight would be our last meeting in the church building like we are. And this would be a celebration night of what God has done among us. 2, that's not happening. 2, a decision that we are going through the process of preparing for and calling a youth pastor at the quarter time to help build our church into a place where families want to come, children and teens enjoy being here, developing a Sunday school curriculum that goes with that as we bring more people in. And so that brings growth and that brings change. And I know in a lot of churches, change is a 4-letter word. And the 7 last words of a dying church, you all want to say them together, I'm sure you know them. Pastor, we never did it that way before. I think that's 7. I'd have to count, maybe 8. But change is a good one. It was 8. We never did it that way before. So, anyway, I'm excited about that prospect. We have to spruce up our vision statement, and we have to maybe do some more organizational structure. We have to come up with a work plan. Job description, that's what it is. Yeah, I haven't written one of them for a while. So I'm excited about that. I hope you are. And I hope it brings lots of life and enthusiasm to who we are and what we're about. And yeah, we continue with our basic philosophy and theology and vision of who we are and where we're going as a church, and continue to look for ways to connect with people, especially people that are unchurched, and see people come to Christ and come to growth and maturity. And maybe you have a reaction to that or a response or want to add something to it if you were part of the discussion. To me, that's a ton better news than saying this is the last time to get it. So, I was asked when I was ready to retire. I said, well, my dad's 93, and he wouldn't have retired if he didn't have to. So, there's my old mom in my target date. But we don't know, do we? Whether it's 93 or 94 or 99. Take either one, really. Someone else?
I should say Isaiah's arm is now completely healed.
Praise the Lord.
So yeah, just follow the medical. So he had the rods removed a week ago Thursday.
Very good. We're happy for you, Isaiah.
It was nice to see those x-rays. Straight bone.
Good.
Straight and strong.
Good. Jeff.
Second vaccine shot. We survived it. Had my doubts after the first one. So,
much better news. Still alive. Happy to hear that.
Renee and Lydia are looking forward to having a youth group here. And in the meantime, they've enjoyed going to live in the last 2 weeks.
So okay. Blessings to them. Very good. Well, there's nothing wrong with being involved in two youth groups. Right. All right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Renee, do you want to pass the basket today? Shall we do a children's story? Do you ever wonder what it would be like to be somebody else? Not really? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe a princess, a prince, or maybe, maybe really rich, or maybe really poor. Not interested in that. Life's really good the way it is, isn't it? We are a blessed people. That's a good way to be. So we're happy for that. But Amy is a little girl in our story tonight that felt a little differently. She was born very, very poor and lived on the streets. And imagine not having a home, not having a house to go to, a bed to sleep in, warm clothes to wear, good food to eat that mommy makes or daddy makes or mommy buys or daddy buys or whatever, however we get it. And just wondering, you know, where my next meal is going to come from and do I even get to go to school, let alone what am I going to wear to school? That would be a pretty hard way to live, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, here's what Amy was telling herself. I have to act like a billionaire's daughter, Amy said to herself once again. I have to act like a billionaire's daughter. Imagine being that poor and thinking that you have to act like you're a billionaire's daughter. You know what a billionaire is? Somebody with lots and lots and lots of money, with more money than they know what to do with. And imagine if you were the daughter or the son of a billionaire. Would you worry about what clothes you were going to wear, or what food you were going to eat, or where you were going to sleep at night? No. But Amy worried about all these things, and then she thought she had to act like a billionaire's daughter. I wonder why she thought that. Well, let's go on with the story. Trying to act like a billionaire's daughter was exhausting for Amy. After all, she lived on the streets and was hopelessly in debt. She owed lots of people lots of money. Amy ended every day in frustration, feeling like such a failure. That's sad. Try as hard as she might, she just couldn't act the part. How was she ever supposed to afford fancy clothes? When you can't buy plain and simple clothes, how can you buy fancy clothes? Right? Well, you might wonder why Amy was so insistent on acting like a billionaire's daughter. The desire came from a notion she had that if she could just act the part, she'd somehow earn the billionaire's favor. She wanted him to accept her as his daughter. How could that be? Well, now, Amy knew that the billionaire had announced long ago that he would pay off any debt that people owed and adopt children into his household. Wow, imagine that. If you'd lived like Amy, wouldn't you make a beeline to the billionaire's house to get adopted, your bills paid, and everything taken care of? I would think so. Well, that was great news for Amy. And she had accepted the invitation. But then she failed to understand what that meant. If she had, she wouldn't be living in constant frustration on the streets. So she had gone to the billionaire and been adopted as his daughter, but she didn't know what that meant. So she continued to have debts and live in the streets. Imagine that. Does that sound kind of dumb? Her friend Sarah tried to help her. Amy, don't you understand? You've already been adopted by the billionaire. You don't have to earn his favor. Oh, yes, you should act like a billionaire's daughter, but only because you are one. Duh, right? The only way you can act like it is through the riches that he has given you. The billionaire gave her riches, and she didn't know it, and she didn't use them to pay her bills and to have clothes and food, a house to live in. How silly. You don't have to try to piece together your own clothes. He already has beautiful ones in his mansion for you to put on. Just run to him. Rest in his love. Let the love and the position he's given you sink in. Come on, Amy, think. Right? Right? Yeah. It took Amy a long time to understand, but slowly she realized that she was welcomed in the mansion simply because her father had adopted her. Oh, she didn't have to earn. She didn't have to impress him. Her father wanted her just as she was. Yet he had also given to her vast resources so she could live out like his daughter instead of like a beggar. And you know what? The more time Amy spent with her father instead of trying to please him on her own, the more she found herself imitating him and acting as he had intended her to. Joy gradually replaced frustration. When Amy spent time with her father and remembered who she really was and all that she had been given. Well, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we're adopted into God's family, and God's richer than a billionaire. Okay? And he has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. He provides for us. He takes care of us. We don't have to earn it. We receive it because we're his children and he loves us. So we just need to learn to know him, who he is, and who we are as his children. And then live like it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you love us so generously, so abundantly, and that you have provided for us everything we need for life and godliness and holiness. I pray for these children. I pray that they will learn to know you better each day, and that they'll know you as their father, as their friend, as the one who provides for them and cares for them, meets their needs. And may they come to you every time they have the opportunity just to sit on your lap, just to love on you and to be loved by you. And may that become the place from which they live, your presence. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for your attention. Throne Life. Seems like an interesting title. Well, it is an interesting title of a book I just finished reading. And I promise not to go through the whole book today. It took a while. But what an excellent, excellent book. And the whole premise of the book is we need to know who we are and what our position is in Christ, and then live from that. That's how we live victoriously. That's how we live an overcoming life. that's how we deal with the issues, the problems, the situations that we find and struggle with from day to day, week to week, and month to month, year to year in this life. Jesus promised us in this life we're going to have trouble, but not to worry, because he's overcome the world. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lots of promises we have of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished on the cross. And he paid the price for us to have victory. And so why do we live without victory when victory is ours for the claim? I don't have an answer to that question. Spirit is stupid, maybe? I don't know. But some situations in life are tough. And some really hit us hard. And some take time to process and to get through. But none are insurmountable. Because Jesus said, if we have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, or, yeah, that we can say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And if we believe and don't doubt, it's gone. It's going to go. And the mountains we face are fear, unbelief, poverty, illness, disappointment, insecurity, lots of things that come our way. And as we stand in the Lord, he promises overcoming victory on each one of those. But if we're like Amy, and we don't know who we are, and we don't know the resources that we have access to, we're just going to be climbing mountains all of our life. One problem to another, one issue to another, one situation to another. And it doesn't have to be that way. So I'm just choosing really pretty much a couple paragraphs out of the book to base this message on tonight. And the scriptures that it refers to primarily. And those scriptures are found in the book of Ephesians. And so I'd like to start with Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When is God going to do that? When is God finally going to raise us up and seat us with Christ in the heavenly realms? Anyone?
Past tense is raised.
Oh. Past tense. You mean it's not in the future somewhere? You mean it's already been done? You mean that's where we are tonight, today, tomorrow? Good job. Good reading. I tried to set you up, but you read. And you must have believed. Sometimes God's truth is just too good to be true, it seems. But the good news is, it's not. It is true. God has seated us with Christ. Now, in the heavenly realms, with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. You know, where is Jesus sitting? In the heavenly realms right now. What's the scripture tell us? At the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. And where are we? We're seated with him. Where? At the right hand of God. So when James and John came to Jesus and said, Grandpa, one of them should be sitting on your left, the other sit on your right. hey, I got something better for you. You have to sit on my lap. And that's at the right hand of the Father. And that's where we are. And if we are there, what can harm us? What can come against us? What has authority over us? Two words put together into one word. No thing. Nothing. You know, when I said good evening, you were alive. What happened? Tweet that out. Sing your hearts out. Okay. Well, look at this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How about that? What are we lacking? What did Father leave us without? Those same two words. No thing. No thing. Nothing. Do you have any clue how huge your spiritual bank account is? What can't you take care of? What can't be resolved with the resources God's put in our fingertips? But we act like we're orphans. All too often, we act like we're street urchins. Don't know where our next meal's coming from. Don't know where we're going to find money for clothes. How are we ever going to find a place to live? And I sure can't face the problems that are coming my way. When in fact, Holy Spirit is inside of us. Holy Spirit was sent to bring to our remembrance everything that Jesus taught us. He's to guide us. He's to help us. He's to comfort us. And we receive power when he comes on us to be his witnesses. So, seems to me that if I know who I am and know what I have access to, that rather than being fretting about what is facing me, I should be fretting about how do I access the resources God gave me so that I can overcome what's facing me and so that I can be prepared ahead of time and be proactive when the next issue comes. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in Christ as he intended us for, or as I believe he intended us for, the Holy Spirit canceled our subscription to issues. We don't have to have those anymore. When it comes, we can say, you got the wrong guy. No, Jesus died. He paid the price, so I don't need to be offended by you and what you've done to me. I'm not accepting your rejection. I'm accepting the acceptance of the Father who loves me passionately. And I'm not going to be damaged goods because you treated me wrongly. I'm not going to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. And I'm not going to allow a stronghold of the enemy to take residence in my mind and control my thinking and my actions. Because I'm a child of the King. And I have it later in the scripture, but it's coming to me now strongly. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If all authority has been given to Jesus, how much does that leave for our adversaries? That same two words, no thing. I keep coming back to that. Nothing. Nothing. Satan is a defeated foe. And we just need to treat him that way. Quit having mercy on a defeated foe. This is a game of life to the finish. You know, sometimes I watch sports teams and it seems to me they're running up a score and I think, oh man, you get this game so won. You don't need to keep scoring. Just let it be a little bit close so the other team has some feeling of respect when they're done. But in the game of life with Satan, who takes no prisoners, we should take no prisoners. We don't allow him to win a victory here and there and say it's okay. No, no. We live victoriously in every fight we face. Because we are at war. War's won, but the battle is still being fought. Ultimately, Jesus has overcome and defeated Satan. And I like the way a professor put it for me one time. Satan has been thrown down to the earth, and he's like a chicken with his head cut off. Now, if you've never seen a chicken with its head cut off, the question could actually be asked, when is a chicken most alive? With its head on or its head off? Because when a chicken's head is cut off, it flops and flutters and flaps around just like it's crazy. It stops after a while because it's dead. Satan's going to stop after a while because he's dead. But right now, he's flopping around like a dead chicken. And in that flopping, we can get messy and we can get hurt. And we can get, you know, even dead chickens have claws on their feet. You can get scratched by that. You get too close to the wrong place. But if we understand that we're fighting against a defeated foe, and that the one who we're seated beside is the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth. What authority does that dead chicken have over me? Coming back to it. No thing. I think you're going to remember something to me. And that will be no thing. I hope so. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you know who you are? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and now you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. He didn't hold any back. No. Earl, you're only worth half of it. Oh, no. He gives us the whole enchilada. You know, he gives us that. You know, when the prodigal son came home, the father said, go get a ring and put it on his finger. You know what that ring was? That was the check signing ability, as I understand it. restore him to his former position, put on his hand the signet that allows him to put my seal of approval on his actions. I pay his bills. Jesus paid it. Oh, not half of it, not 90% of it, not 99% of it, because you and I couldn't have paid the 1% if he had paid the 99%. He had to pay it all for us to be in, and he did. There's never been a sin that anyone's committed and came to God and asked for forgiveness. He said, I should have had Jesus pay for that one too. Oh dear. No, it's all covered. All covered. He remembers our sin and lawless deeds no more. It's almost no more. So we've got this huge account. We need to walk in and live in and be victorious. How do we do it? Get to know the Father. Get to know his heart. Who he is. What he's about. The better we know him, the more access we'll have, the more victory we'll have in this life that we live. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay? We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, authorities, powers of the dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All of these things are under Jesus' feet. Amen? We are the body of Christ. As we're here on earth, I believe, we're his feet. If all these things have been put under Jesus' feet, and we're the feet, where are we in relation to these authorities and these powers? We're over them. Our Savior has been victorious. And by him being victorious, and us adopted into his family, we have become victorious. Let's walk like it. Let's talk like it. Let's live like it. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the forces of evil. Satan and his cohorts, plain simple English. We're not talking about political entities here. We're talking about spiritual entities. I'm not big on politics and faith. I try to keep those two things separate. That being said, if I approach politics, I want to approach it from a position of faith. I want to support politicians that support my faith, not that go counter to my faith. But it's awfully hard to find those for me. So I'm in the world, but I try not to be of the world. That's what Jesus called us. But when it comes to spiritual forces, we are at war. And we can invoke the name of Jesus. Remember that sermon some months ago or a year ago? Yeah. About the name of Jesus. It's the character and the authority of Jesus. If we come against Satan, we don't say, Satan, I rebuke you, and then just add on, in the name of Jesus. we're going to say that I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, or I come against you in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this person in the name of Jesus. But what we're meaning by that is, by the authority and the character of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, you're gone. You're defeated. You have to leave. You have no right, no authority to be here. In Jesus' name, his authority, his character, be gone. Stand on it. It's our victory. I love Romans 16, whatever I think it is. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Oh, yeah. And you've heard me say it before. I've always thought that means crush Satan under my feet. And I've come to realize a very different approach to that. That Satan's crushed under my feet. When I'm celebrating Jesus, when I'm dancing and praising, saying hallelujah, that crushes Satan. When I stomp him and grind his head into the dirt, that's his tactics. Then I'm fighting Satan's way. But when I come against Satan with praise and worship and adoration of Jesus, that's using the weapons of our warfare. That's using the power of the Lamb. That's the way Jesus would do it. We didn't see Jesus go against the Pharisees by trumping on their heads. He loved them, even unto death. He went to the cross for them. He rose victorious because he wasn't defeated by them. So yeah, we have struggles. But is it not against flesh and blood? It's against Satan and his cohorts. But the good news is, we win!
Yeah.
We win, done deal. Just take authority over and walk in. Walk in. Paul's prayer. I keep asking. He had to keep asking. Asking once wasn't enough, because I think it takes us a while to understand all this. And it takes a while for us to comprehend it. But once we've comprehended it, that isn't enough. Now we have to make it part of us. Now it has to go from our head to our heart, to our soul, to the core of our being. I have to actually believe it. I have to embrace it as part of me, as my identity. I can say, yeah, I'm the child of the king. I've been adopted by the billionaire, but I still have to earn his approval. And I still have to pay my debts. And I still have to find my clothes. But how silly is that? As long as we're living that way, we're not living victorious. And we're not living the way the billionaire wants us to live. It's certainly not the way God wants us to live. So Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Yeah, do we want wisdom and revelation? Amen. Why? So that you may know him better. We want wisdom and revelation, not to know tomorrow's lottery numbers or anything else, but we want wisdom and revelation so we know the Father better. And the better we know the Father, the better we know who we are. Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
You see me, you've seen the Father. He knew him intimately. We're to know Jesus intimately. We're to be followers of Christ. We're to live as he lived. And I believe that we should be living such lives that we can see, say to someone, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Now, do I measure up to that all the time? No. But I like what Paul said. Have I achieved it all? No. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I press on to take hold of the mark for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Philippians 3. And that's where we need to be. Press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. He took hold of us so that we'd be children of God, so that we'd be seated in the heavenly realms with him, with everything under our feet because it's under his feet. Not because of what we've done or what we've accomplished, but because of who we are in him. And we need to know who we are in him. And it needs to be in our inner being. We have to know that we know that we know. And act like it and walk in it. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Can I read that? Dare I read that? He has given us incomparably great power. He's called us, the hope to which he's called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Let me say it this way. Not only in the age to come, but also in this age. He has the authority now. We have the authority now. This isn't for the sweet by and pie in the sky. This isn't for the millennium, whatever that is. This is for today. What good is a gospel that's only good news for the future and not for today? If it doesn't meet my needs today, how do I survive till I get to where it does? The gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is who we are today. Remember, who do we struggle against? These same folks that are under the authority of Jesus. Virtually the same list. Okay. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Hebrews tells us that in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. I believe in us. What's it say here? Fills everything in every way. Does that mean?
think I'm part of everything. I don't think I'm no thing. I'm something. I'm someone. Because he's made me someone. Special. Child of the King. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where I have all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's there. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer for you and me, for believers. Here's a faith statement for us. I'll close with this. I have been made alive with Christ. I do share in his authority. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. My wrestling is not with flesh and blood. Amen. My prayer is that as we hear this being stated, that it becomes part of who we are. It helps give us the courage to maybe think, yeah, that could be me. And then it starts to become. And the more I can focus on this, the more it can become me. The more it becomes me, the more victorious I'll be. Until I find that God's word is true. That I am who he said I am. My life shows it. Let's pray. Father, I kneel before you tonight. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name from you. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen each of us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that as we're being rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine,
according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God bless you with an awesome day.